O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For you lead me to the fire and to the sun and to the holy ghost. As the burning is love and
O God, who has made this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light, grant, we beseech thee, that as we have known on earth the mysteries of that light through thy precious gospel, we may also come to the fullness of its joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord and only Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Your devout attention is now directed to the reading of Scripture in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, concerning the conception and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Thus far the scripture. Now let us confess our most holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten, not made, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and a third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christmas is one of the chief festivals of the church year. It celebrates God the Father's gift of his only begotten Son to be the world's Savior from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Already in eternity, God foresaw the transgression of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the horrible consequences of sin which they would bring into the world. And in Christ, he so loved the world that he devised the most remarkable rescue mission to save fallen mankind from the wages of sin. God decreed that his only begotten Son would be manifested in the flesh to take the place of every sinner under the law as his substitute. He would actively keep the law in the sinner's stead to earn for man the righteousness that God demands, and he would pay the penalty of eternal death justly deserved by every and all sinners because of their transgressions. Thus God's Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest Christmas present ever given, would perfectly satisfy God's justice and make possible peace on earth and mercy mild for all sinners of all times in God's unilateral reconciliation of the world unto himself for Jesus' sake. That reconciliation is the real message of Christmas. And it is our privilege, as the lambs of the Lord Jesus, to bring you those tidings of great joy of God's goodwill toward men in our songs and recitations. May he bless the hearing of that precious Christmas gospel, both in our ears and in our hearts, and accept our humble praise and thanksgiving for the greatest Christmas present we wretched sinners will ever receive, the dear Christ child. It is impossible for anyone fully to appreciate the significance of Christmas without first understanding the nature of sin, the total depravity of man by nature, and the wages of sin, everlasting death and hell that all men deserve according to God's justice. Adam and Eve, created holy in the beginning, could have retained their perfect integrity and could have remained perfectly happy and at peace with God. Tragically, however, they willingly yielded to Satan's temptation and deliberately, contrary to better knowledge, did what God had forbidden. Thus they fell into sin and immediately became spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. They also brought sin, shame, misery, and death upon all men after them, and thus ruined the blissful relationship that had existed between man and God. Therefore, we too are sinners by nature. We too are totally without righteousness and are inclined only to evil. We too deserve nothing but God's wrath and displeasure, death and damnation in hell forever because of our sins. Without a rescuer to satisfy God's justice in our place, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, we would all be headed for hell and damnation. But because of God the Father's Christmas gift to us and to all the world, because of the righteousness that Jesus earned for all mankind by his perfect life here on earth, and by his suffering and death, which paid the penalty of our guilt, God graciously reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And declared all men righteous and forgiven in his sight. Therefore, in childlike faith, we gratefully declare with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15.
Thank you.
The Savior's coming was foretold in clear prophecies or promises in advance throughout the Old Testament, and true believers eagerly waited, watched, and longed for his appearing. And the Bible tells us that even though Jesus had not yet come to fulfill, in time, his redemptive work, God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake, was received by them through faith, which confided in his promises and laid hold on the merits, which as far as God was concerned, Jesus had already won for them.
The Old Testament believers waited patiently for 4,000 years for the fulfillment of God's promises, clinging in faith to the forgiveness that he had already granted to them in view of Jesus' satisfaction of divine justice. It was only a matter of time until that Savior would appear and make that payment. It seemed like a long wait, but when the fullness of the time was come, Galatians 4:4, all the prophecies were fulfilled, and God sent forth his Son. God had truly kept his word. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Amen. Thank you. healed, the sheep were sleeping, shepherds careful watch were keeping, then an angel sent from heaven, God to you his son has given.
Glory, glory, that was God who joy it was. God gave gifts of love, he gave sinners, we're not to say.
Thank you.
And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Those shepherds on the fields of Bethlehem were sinful human beings just like us. And so they were terrified when the brightness of God's glory filled the night sky, and a holy angel suddenly appeared to them from heaven. Because of their sins, they no doubt expected God's judgment upon them, instead of the message of peace and joy in the coming of their Savior. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us his Son hath given. Thus angels sang with pious mirth the gladsome tidings of his birth. That was Martin Luther's poetic paraphrase of the angel's song of praise, which Lydia so nicely cited from Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As we ponder in our minds this evening the message of Christmas, epitomized in that song of praise by the angels of God, we find in it three blessings in particular which should strengthen us in our most holy faith and revitalize our zeal to serve the Savior in truly sanctified lives. The first of these blessings is the assurance that our holy God and Lord never makes a promise that he will not keep, and that his holy word is the infallible source of that assurance. As we heard before in the children's recitations, God repeated his promise of the Messiah to come through 4,000 years of Old Testament prophecy. In almost every case, the promise itself involved a different aspect of the Savior, of his lineage, of his person, of his work, of his virgin birth, and even the geographical fact that he was to be born in the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem Ephrathah. There were all these different promises, and yet not a single detail was left unfulfilled in any of the messianic prophecies. Not only does this perfect accuracy of the Holy Scriptures assure us that the Jesus in Bethlehem's manger is truly the Christ of God, our Savior, but it makes his verbally inspired precious word the only reliable source and standard of Christian truth. And so we know the truth about Christmas. We know the truth about Christmas from the truth of God's precious word. Jesus says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, my true followers, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No wonder the fulfillment of all of those wonderful messianic prophecies in the child of Bethlehem fills us with such great assurance at Christmas time. The second great blessing of Christmas is the peace that we have with God in heaven by faith in the Christ child of Bethlehem. Peace of conscience, knowing that in view of the vicarious redemptive work that our Savior would accomplish here in his life here on earth, as he took our place under the law and kept the law perfectly for us, and by his innocent suffering and death, whereby he paid the penalty of our guilt, God had already forgiven the sins of the whole world. The whole world. Those are very important words in the scripture in many different places, and it's good those words are there because our names are not written in the book of the scriptures. How do we know that God has forgiven us? Because you and I, my dearly beloved hearers, are part of this world. And if we trust for ourselves this good news, these glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, including us, if we hold on to that wonderful gospel with all our hearts, then we have laid hold on and we have for ourselves the peace of God which passeth all human understanding. The peace of God that the children of this world simply can't figure out. They simply can't understand it. They continue to look for peace among the nations at Christmas time. There's no peace among the nations. They look for peace in the home. The divorce rate is higher than it's ever been in the history of mankind. They look for peace in the neighborhood. The neighborhood so violent that people are getting shot down on the cities, on the streets of our city every day, as if it were a war zone. No, the peace that the angels sang was not peace in this world at all. The world seeks that peace in vain. But it was, as we sang before, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Mercy, God's undeserved kindness to undeserving sinners like you and me. God and sinners reconciled, brought together as one in their former relationship, unilaterally, by God himself, because of what Christ earned in his vicarious atonement. And the third great blessing we want to take home with us, especially this evening, actually flows out of the other two. It is their result in our lives as Christians. It is, in a word, joy. When we have the assurance of God's own word that the dear Christ child of Bethlehem was not just a cute little baby boy born to Mary in a stable, as a lot of people think, that baby born in Bethlehem's stable was not just a man, that the babe born in Bethlehem's stable was not just another prophet, that he was not just a great teacher and an exemplary model for us in our lives. But when we are assured by the scriptures that this was God himself, incarnate, made flesh, born to be our substitute under the law, to keep the law of God and all of its demands in our place, to be our Savior, one who sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God, took upon himself our guilt and suffered our punishment. And all of this was in fulfillment of rectilinear or direct prophecies of the scriptures, pointing exclusively to Jesus. That makes us truly happy. And when by faith in him, we have peace with God and the forgiveness of all of our sins, that fills us with joy unspeakable in the midst of this sorrowing world in which we live today. In fact, we Christians have such cause for rejoicing, not only at Christmas time, but all through the year, that joy should show itself in our lives. We should be leading joyful lives. And in the time of this wicked pandemic, which is the messenger of Satan to buffet us, it's hard to be joyful about anything. But let's be joyful about Christmas. Let's be joyful in our words. Let's be joyful in our actions. Let's be joyful in the friends we keep. Let's be joyful in the example we set for other people, in the loving and cheerful service we render to the Lord's church. Let's be joyful in the offerings that we bring to the Christ child. And let us also be specially joyful in our personal Christian mission work, like the shepherds who told everybody that they met the things that they had seen and heard as it was told unto them, according to the precious gospel brought to them by the angels. Let us share these wonderful three blessings of Christmas It's assurance, it's peace, and it's joy that that message brings us. May those three blessings be ours, not only today, but every day of our life here in this world, confiding in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that by that grace of God, in and through him, which bringeth salvation, the apostle writes, we spend an eternity of happy Christmases in his heavenly home above. Amen.
With the Apostle Paul, we urge you this evening to accept and believe this glorious message of God's reconciliation of the entire world for Jesus' sake. Be ye reconciled to God, he writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. That is, lay hold by faith on God's forgiveness of all mankind for Jesus' sake. For then you will have for yourselves the benefit of his unilateral reconciliation, the true peace of Christmas, the peace of which the angel sang, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. May that peace be ours, not just at Christmas time, but all through our lives. As we confide in the child of Bethlehem, and his merits alone, for the peace that only he can give.
Concerning our offerings of love to the Christ child on this Christmas Eve, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he doesn't speak by commandment. He says he speaks to prove the sincerity of our love. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Let us arise to pray. O Almighty and most merciful Father, we thank thee that thou didst in the fullness of time fulfill thine ancient promises and hast given us in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Himself, in his vicarious atonement, the satisfaction of thy justice and the payment for our reconciliation by thee. O Lord Jesus Christ, praise, glory, and honor be to thee. For out of thine unspeakable love, thou didst humble thyself to become the most destitute of men, and thus to become the Lamb of God, the sufferer of our guilt, and the rescuer of our souls. Thou wast made man that we might be made heirs of God and fellow heirs with thee of thy glory. Thou didst take upon thee the form of a servant that we might be kings and priests before God for thy sake. We sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, but thou hast brought us light and life and peace and joy everlasting by redeeming us to thy heavenly Father. O Holy Spirit, we praise and bless thee for making known to us and to all mankind by the preaching of the gospel the joyful tidings of our Savior's nativity. And we beseech thee by that sweet gospel, the power of God unto salvation, to quicken us by thy grace, that we may not hear the Christmas message with passing wonderment only, but like Mary, ponder it gratefully in our hearts, that it may kindle in us the light of true faith, that is humble, childlike confidence in the merits of our Redeemer, and the fire of fervent love in imitation of thy great love for us. Let us not be turned aside by doubts or fears, but like the shepherds, trusting fully in the word of reconciliation, come with haste to see the things which have come to pass. Accept and receive them by faith for our salvation, and then gratefully make known abroad, as we have opportunity, the great joy which shall be to all people, that they too, with us, may rejoice in the gift of salvation and glorify and praise God for the wonders of his love in sending thee to be our precious Redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. And now in the name and for the sake of our blessed Savior, we bring to thee everything else upon our poor hearts in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.